You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're pleased to announce that this season the Spurs Show is sponsored by Greene King Sport, where football is more than a game. Greene King Sport venues are showing every single televised Spurs fixture over the 23-24 season. And with more than 900 sports pubs across the UK, it doesn't matter whether you're based in Tottenham or Tyneside, you can catch every single minute of the action. Keep an eye out during the season for events, offers, content and competitions that put you closer to the action. If you can't get yourself down to the Palace match on Friday, why not catch it on Sky Sports the next best place, a Greene King pub. Welcome to this week's Spurs Show, live from the Albany Great Portland Streets. Thank you, everyone here in the room. Thank you, everyone listening at home. Please welcome my co-host, Mr. Theo Delaney.
Good evening, everyone.
And joining us, a man who's been on the show literally from the, I think, from very early days.
The day dot.
2007, we started this tawdry rubbish. And he's here from... I had a blank there. From...
Zigzag.
How awful. I used to work with him in his office. From Zigzag TV, the producer, Mr. Danny Fenton.
Glory. Glory, glory days.
The glory, glory days. Before we start, a couple of documentaries, can you mention Spurs-related ones?
Well, we've got one that's already on Amazon. With Heung-min Son.
Which, if you haven't seen, is extraordinary, because it features Heung-min Son's dad, who's an interesting character. It's incredible, isn't it?
No joke. He actually... The dad now wants to bring out a documentary called My Son.
Oh, really?
Which is him talking about how he made Son who he is.
Wow.
I know we're going to... I'm digressing slightly, but...
No. I'm very interested.
I think Heung-min Son is probably the greatest ever signing that Tottenham have ever made.
Okay.
I just can't think of anybody who's been a better signing in our history. The amount he's played, and even last season, people were saying, you know, he's finished, so we should get rid of him. And look at him this season.
Yeah.
It's just a revelation. Mm. And the other documentary we're doing, which hasn't been announced yet, but exclusively.
There we are.
Here, we're doing a documentary on Jermaine Defoe.
Right.
Which is also going to be on Amazon.
Okay. And is that his after... What's the sort of basis of it?
It's the story of his whole career. It's interesting, you know, because he starts at Charlton, walked out on Charlton to go to West Ham, handed in his transfer request on the day West Ham got relegated to go to Tottenham. Left Tottenham to go to Portsmouth to link up with Harry Redknapp. And then also Harry Redknapp went back to Tottenham, called him and said, right, you're coming back. So he then went back to Tottenham. And then Daniel Levy very graciously said to him he could go to Toronto, but he actually never really
wanted to go to Toronto.
But it's also, you know, the subtitle of the show is For the Love of the Game. And actually, what's interesting about Jermaine, he's never married, he's never had
I thought he was married.
He got briefly married and then briefly got divorced.
Oh, wow. Didn't know.
That's a story in itself.
But
he's had a lot of tragedy in his life as well. Yeah. You know, a lot of people have died around him. Obviously, he had the relationship with Bradley, the Sunderland fan as well. But it's very moving, and he's very honest. And he's now back at Tottenham as a coach.
Full-time there.
Full-time. And I love it when ex-players love Tottenham, and he totally loves Tottenham.
Mm. Mm. Lovely. Well, they are. You've got exclusive there. Well, let's start. Obviously, tonight we're going to look back on Monday night's game, Theo, and look ahead to Friday night football is a weird one, isn't it?
Bit weird.
Yeah, but then we'll look ahead to Friday's game against Palace.
Mm-hmm.
Theo, 2-0 win. Game of two halves, kind of, which Postecoglou then came out and said we weren't good second half.
Yeah.
But as we record this show, we are top of the league by 2 points. And if I know, don't say it. Don't say it. If the result goes away on Friday, then add 3 to that.
5 points clear.
I mean, incredible, isn't it?
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. It was a strange game. Yeah, the Fulham game. I actually missed the first half hour because I got there and my season ticket had disappeared from my phone.
Mine too.
Really?
I had the same. I've got them on the wallet.
Yeah.
And it said expired, and I couldn't find it. I found it, but it worked.
Was it in the expired?
Expired.
Mine wasn't anywhere, so I had to actually go to the ticket office, queue up, missed the first half hour. But it was one of those ones where you got there and you sensed you hadn't missed an awful lot. I don't know, but I think Vicario made one great save, apparently, and we'd had a couple of chances. But it was a funny game because I kind of ended up thinking this is the old routine victory. I mean, that's what I always say if ever we beat Arsenal, but as a you know, to wind them up. But this really felt like an actual routine victory. This felt like us being on a slightly different level from them, winning a kind of a canter, and actually in the second half not really doing much, which is what Postecoglou, in my view, very encouragingly called him out on that and said, it was like a bit of complacency crept in and it got scrappy and a bit messy. The one thing I would say about it is even though the overall performance wasn't that good, it was more than good enough. But the best thing about the night, I thought, was the quality of the goals. The goals were absolutely excellent. I mean, Son, I agree. I think Son is underrated. One of the reasons he's underrated is, of course, he's had his whole career up to now alongside Harry Kane, who's the greatest of them all. So, you know, understandably. But if he, I mean, you see him now, you just think, wow. I mean, when he turned up, we had no idea what we were in for. I mean, he's incredible. His goal was fantastic. Maddison was great again, and his goal was a beautiful finish, so classy. So, all in all, you know, a satisfactory night's work and sets us up for a game against inferior opposition, given the injuries they've got, on Friday. But again, we take nothing for granted. And going to Palace is quite a hard place to go. They get the
literally just to get there is a hard place.
It is. I mean, however you try and do it in the car, you try and do it publicly. It's a hard place to go.
Yeah.
And but they get the old atmosphere really gets going, especially for a London derby. So it won't be easy, but we're in good shape.
Yeah. But I mean, the fact that 9 games in, Danny, I don't think any Tottenham fan out there went, oh no, this season we'll be up there early on. I mean, even Postecoglou kind of said, everyone who's followed his career go, well, when he goes to any club, it takes a while, clearly, for the players to understand what he wants to do, especially when you think about what we were doing before under Conte. It's so different. And for that to sort of go, you know, a lot of rival fans go, we haven't really played anyone. Well, we kind of have now, you know, United, Liverpool, Arsenal, Fulham, I think. I mean, I said on the recent show that I thought it would be tight, and it kind of was tight. Maybe you could argue if Fulham actually had a decent striker, they had a couple of chances maybe they should have taken. There was a few lapses, again, playing out for defence, a few passes went astray. But to me, what's incredible, I mean, we'll talk about individual players again, and we've talked about Mickey van der Ven. I thought Romero was man of the match. I know a lot of people said Maddison. Romero, I just thought, was extraordinary again. He's so calm now on the ball.
I thought Romero was man of the match. Yeah. I thought even before he got handed the armband later in the game, he was a captain. He played like a captain. And also, with Romero last season, he'd go to ground a lot and he'd do reckless challenges in stupid parts of the field. But he was staying on his feet. He was coming out with the ball. I mean, Van der Ven, he's an incredible player. I mean, he's like, you can't do him for pace because he's so quick. And you can't do him for strength because he's so strong. And I think he made one mistake all night, I counted, Van de Ven. Mm. And it was between him and Romero for me, who were the man of the match. But I would give it to Romero just because he was just so dominant in the whole game. Mm. I think we were a little bit lucky that... So Fulham had to play two centre-backs who were left-footed. And that, I think that did work to our advantage, I think, in the first goal for Son. They actually crashed into each other. But it was a brilliant play by Son. That old feeling of we're going to throw this away, it's not there anymore. And it's funny, I took a friend with me who hasn't been this season, and he is that Tottenham fan that you all know. And when that header came in, when Vicario made a brilliant save, went, oh, that's going in. and it didn't. And probably in the Lloris, I think it would have gone in. Because it was right, you know, it was a really good sort of clawback save. And then with 5 minutes to go, you know, they had that chance. And he said, even then, he said, and we went into extra time, into injury time.
Like 10 minutes, wasn't
it? He said, oh, we're going to lose this. Yeah. I was like, well, we're 2-0 up.
Yeah.
And there's 7 minutes of time added up.
Like
the only word of caution I would say, and it's not the first time I've seen it this season, is that once you start bringing in second string players, once you bring in Skip and Højbjerg in the centre midfield, and
Højbjerg did well though.
Højbjerg did okay, but he's not Bissouma and he's not Sara and he hasn't got Maddison's skill. And suddenly we look disjointed. You know, that happens when you make five substitutions, when you make three in one go. But I'll give Brendan Johnson the benefit of the doubt. He probably isn't fully fit.
No.
Vélez just sort of seemed a bit of a headless chicken. I know he was only on for a short period of time running around, but we suddenly looked a bit more vulnerable.
Yeah.
And it made me think that it's all very well saying with 5 minutes to go, well, let's rest some players. But of course, in this day and age, time added on is 7 minutes.
Mm.
So you're actually playing maybe
quarter of an hour.
Yeah. And that save that Vicario made with 5 minutes to go, if that had gone in, it would have been squeaky bum time. Mm. I think we would have been back to the wall. But as Theo said, overall, because of the saves Vicario made, two very important saves, it felt quite comfortable. And Fulham didn't really seem that up for it, I didn't think. There was no real...
And they're a good team. Everyone's saying what a good team they are now. Mm.
Yeah.
You know?
But, you know, the fact that we've got to where we are after nine games, it's a miracle. I mean, if you said we're going to lose the best player we've ever had 2 days before the window closes...
Mm.
In my opinion, we're carrying Richarlison still.
I think so.
I mean, he's not a left winger, is he?
Well, he's not. He plays down the centre for Brazil. He's been put in that position. I thought he started the game poorly.
Yeah.
I thought he got stronger. I think his work off the ball was incredible, closing down. There was one moment when he showboated and hit the ball on his shoulder, and Postecoglou was there, and he was going crazy.
Rightly so.
Yeah. So that has got to come out of his game. But it'd be interesting on Friday whether he picks him again or because of that, Johnson comes in.
Mm.
Would be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to stick with Richarlison because Richarlison's confidence is so low that if you drop him, he's going to be even worse probably. And you're right, he really put in a shift. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, and it's very hard as a Tottenham fan not to get ahead of yourself. But, you know, when you see these stats where it's teams who've had 20 points after seven games have won the league 11 times and have finished top four 8 times and have only finished outside the top four twice.
Top five this season.
And top five this season. You start to get excited, and then one game a week gets you very excited. And it's an old cliche. We do have to take one game at a time because we are only two injuries away from not being a great team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Theo, I mean, we had a hat. I mean, I know you missed the first half hour, but we had a hatful of chances. There was one where we were trying to walk the ball in almost, and it was shoot.
Yeah, there was a lot of that going on. Yeah.
So we need to be more ruthless as well, don't we?
Yeah, and I'm sure the thing is, what you think about Postecoglou is he will pick them up on all of that stuff. You really feel like he will see that stuff and sit them down and make sure that they correct those base. But some of the football, I mean, they were trying to walk it in, but some of the build-up play, just occasionally, because it wasn't it's probably the least scintillating performance of the whole season, actually.
Postecoglou said it was the
worst. The second half was the worst half. And I probably would agree with him, but some of the build-up play, when they did occasionally spring to life, was absolutely brilliant. I mean, really fantastic, quick, accurate passing and interesting reverse balls and stuff. I mean, completely mesmerising. Mm. And they just, yeah, usually played, it happened that they played one or two too many passes. Mm. But that was encouraging the way they looked. And I think it's a funny thing, football, so much of it is psychology, isn't it? I don't think they felt fully pumped up. When they played against Liverpool, before all the craziness happened, they started getting players sent off left, right and centre. But when it was 11 against 11, they were playing like that the whole time because Liverpool were playing really, really well and they were a great team. And I think you've got to be pumped up in a sense. And like you say, Fulham in some ways didn't even seem like they were fully motivated. They'd almost come expecting to lose a little bit, I think. And that's hard to get yourself going, but that's fine. That, you know, it's a long season. As is always said, one of the great clichés, one of the 500 top clichés in football is, if you win the league, you've got to find a way of winning when you don't play that well. Mm-hmm. So we didn't play that well, but we won at a canter.
And a clean sheet.
Yeah, you're not going to play 38 games, play brilliantly, and win every game in spectacular fashion. Mm. So, you know, in that way, you know, quite encouraging, actually.
What's incredible, Danny, is again, more so than any game, the build-up play with the centre-backs is so slow. So there was times, mainly Romero is walking with the ball, and you've got their forwards like, shall I go, shall I whatever, and it then puts his foot on the ball and stops. It's incredible how slow the build-up is some of the time.
I think there's so many different styles of football. You know, Romero plays like a South American player, so he does he does walk and he does wait. Van de Ven just seems to be like, you know, he sets off like a, you know, a dog out of a trap, and then once he gets going with it, he just keeps running with it, and he seems to be very good at keeping control of the ball. And they seem to complement each other really, really well. Mm. Porro's been a revelation this season. I mean,
because people said, oh, he's not a fullback, he's not, you know, he's a wing back, or he's gone. But he's been very, very disciplined, isn't he? I mean, he's not bombing forward much as he certainly did at Sporting Lisbon.
If you saw
he's
the game
doing a job
on Monday night, at certain points of the game, Udogi and Porro were the furthest forward players. It's like, it was sort of blowing my mind. And, and I think other teams are finding it difficult to know who to mark.
If
your wing backs are the furthest forward players, then and Højbjerg was the deepest player.
Yeah,
then it's impossible to know who to mark.
It's not even as if they're. It's not even like the traditional overlapping. It's not like they're the furthest forward and in the corners. They could be anywhere, couldn't they? They're in the final third, and they could sometimes they cross over.
They're on the same wing as each other sometimes. Yeah,
and it's. I think it's so exciting. It's just so incredibly exciting. But obviously you need to fill in and you know you're taking a risk. You do keep thinking, I don't know about anyone else, but I keep thinking one day we're going to get seriously caught out here. We're going to let in two early goals and it'll be...
Well, before you arrived, there was a moment where we were playing it around at the back.
And
Vicaro gave the ball away, trying to make a short pass.
And
it's likely we are going to concede a goal like that at some point because of the way we're playing. But to an extent, we've been quite fortunate so far. Yeah. Well, even at Arsenal, you know, when Madison got caught in possession. But, you know, we've rode our luck, but we've also deserved. There's not any game we've been outplayed in this season.
No. I mean, some of the early games, my criticism was other teams were getting to our penalty box too quickly. The Man United game, they were just cutting through us. But he's like a fan. For once, he actually sees what fans see. Like, well, that's not good. And the next game, he's actually worked on that. He's seen it as well. Whereas most coaches, you're sitting there going, why can't he see what we're all seeing? And that's not happening. That's not happening. But he does, you know. I mean, the one thing you could say, Theo, is, again, not getting ahead of yourselves. January, international tournaments, unless they get injured or whatever, Sun goes, Matazar goes, Basuma goes. Mm. Will they be replaced? Would you replace them with players in the club? Will Levy pull out some money in January because of that?
Yeah,
because... And the fact that you assume now we'll be in the top four you hope, come the end of the year now.
Yeah, I mean, this is the big question, isn't it? Because, of course, in the past, Levy's had an opportunity to really back a team that looks...
Sahara Nelson, yeah.
That's the shorthand for what I'm saying, yeah. So I think the particular worry is Basuma and Saar, because they are, the whole engine room, and they are quite clearly the best two players in those positions. So a lot will depend on what happens with Bentancur.
Yes.
Whether he comes back... as good as he was, because the real worry with him
they're clearly not rushing him back up.
No,
because they don't need to.
No, they don't need to. And I think Højbjerg is doing a good job as backup.
I think he wants to go. There's talk of Juventus.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course. Why wouldn't you? He's like, what is he? 28, and he's an international player. He's quite a big player.
Yeah,
and he doesn't want to be on a bench.
I'm not a big fan of Højbjerg, but I would keep him because he is a great
if he'll stay.
Player.
Yeah,
if we sold him in January, we'd have to find somebody
definitely
as good
have to replace
better.
Him.
And who are we going to get?
Yeah, yeah.
In the market in January. So I personally wouldn't let Højbjerg go because I don't think we'll be able to replace him.
I agree. I totally agree. It's just whether how unhappy he is and whether Levy sniffs a big fee or anything like that. But I think if Bentancur, the big question mark is over Bentancur and what he's going to be like. Because so often you see those central midfielders, they get a massive injury, they come back, they're just not the same. Sandro springs to mind. And if he's not the same and we lose Saar and Bissouma to that tournament, I mean, even if Højbjerg stays, he's still looking at basically you're down to two and it's Højbjerg and Skip, so there's no cover. And actually, that's a bit of a downgrade if they're both playing. So there are potential problems.
I think the real battle will be for Ivan Toney in January.
Yeah.
Because Arsenal are lacking a striker.
And Chelsea.
And Chelsea lacking
a striker. West Ham is injured again.
And Son's going away. For the tournament, he might get injured. Vélez doesn't look like he's probably
not yet. Yeah,
not ready.
But Richarlison's obviously very unreliable. Toney is a proven goal poacher.
Yeah, I think there'll be an auction. Yeah,
I think whoever gets him is going to stand a really good chance of winning the league.
Wow.
Well, there are certainly vacancies at Tottenham, Chelsea and Arsenal and West Ham. It's funny, isn't it? And he said, imagine being Ivan Toney. He hasn't played for 6 months. He's almost like he's sitting there. He's got a cigar on saying, come and get
his value. His value's gone
make
up.
Make me an offer. Make me an offer. Because he could literally walk into any of those squads. I mean, at Arsenal and Chelsea, probably walk straight into the team.
Yep.
And at Tottenham, he's not far off because Son can always move wide to accommodate him, obviously. And West Ham, Antonio's, long in the tooth. They haven't got anyone else to play up front. He might even prefer to go there where he'd be a big fish in a tiny pond.
Yes.
Do you think, Danny, this another centre-back? I know we've got the young guy from Blackburn on the bench, Dyer still on the bench, who's apparently, according to reports, working very hard in training. Do you think that's another position that, again, if you get an injury to our current two centre-backs, you're going, oh, it's a bit tough now.
I do think so. I mean, I'd be very surprised if Dyer plays another minute for Spurs.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't really get why he or Lloris have hung around. I mean, the writing was on the wall for them. Very,
getting paid, they're under contract.
Yeah, I think it's the money. They've both got 1 year to go, haven't they? So they're waiting to own themselves, I guess.
But, I mean, you'd think Dyer would want to play for England in the Euros, but by not playing for a season...
Yeah, he's got no chance.
He's written that off.
Yeah.
He was in the squad, though, for the...
Yeah, yeah, in the last one, yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, don't get me onto Lloris, but I don't understand. When Lloris was offered to go back to Nice or to go to Newcastle, and, he if they just want to run down the contract, when you're 36 years old, whatever, what's that? I don't get the point of that.
Lloris said he wanted to go somewhere where he was definitely going to be number one. And that was the thing that he didn't get, an offer from a good club to make him number one. So that was his story. I think with Dyer, he thinks probably that he could wait till the summer and get a massive payday.
Yeah.
Because obviously he's in charge then. He owns himself and he's probably still worth 10 million quid.
Yeah.
Do you see and that Tottenham to video? Do you see the video when he came
Yeah, the
out,
one where yeah. he said, you film me, that's what they walking, won't use it.
Everyone, I don't know if anyone see it. Everyone comes back, hello, there's a camera. And then Dyer walks in, he goes, you probably won't use this bit. Like, it's going to be edited out of the first team squad. It's quite sad.
But they did use it. They did
he's
use
a lovely
it.
Guy, I mean, they did use it. He's made some big individual errors.
Yeah.
But again, when you talk about getting him quite young from Sporting Lisbon, scores on his debut at West Ham.
Look,
he's been a good servant player.
He's had a decent career.
Absolutely.
At Tottenham. And Lloris has always had a decent career. It's sad the way, obviously, that it's ending for them. But look at the team now compared to
Incredible.
The team last year and
what
the mistakes, that Dyer made or Sanchez made or Lloris made.
Mm. Yeah.
And we've eradicated those all in one go. And so sometimes you have to be cruel to be kind, but I think we've done the right thing by getting rid of the deadwood. I mean, I couldn't believe watching last night that Sanchez and Dembele are playing in the Champions League. But in a way, it's done us a favour not being in Europe, and because of that, we probably will be top four hopefully at the end of the year. and we will be attractive to players who might want to come and join us, because they're going, look, this is a team that's going places.
It's great football, and then everyone's playing with a smile on their faces, you know. Anyway, let's go to a very quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue this conversation, and we'll look ahead to the game on Friday night against Crystal Palace. Back in a second. And we're back for the break for a premium content, including a daily news show, ex-player interviews, original documentary series on Spurs. Go to patreon.com/spurshow. New Spurs Show merchandise, a new T-shirt design, including the Postecoglou tribute design. Click the link to the link in the description of this podcast. Our monthly London live shows are clearly up and running because we're here now. The next one here will be November the 22nd with David Howes. Join the other season ticket holders here. You and a couple of mates come to all our shows. Go to season.spurshow.net. And I can exclusively reveal now to you at home and you in the room that moving ahead now, but put March the 20th, 2024 in your diary. Spurs Show live event with Mr. Paul Gascoigne. Oh, yes. Whoa. Paul Gascoigne. Finally got him. That show will be at the Leicester Square Theatre. I'm telling you now, there'll be normal seating. And then there's 10. It's very weird how we've had to do the deal with him, because it's quite pricey. There's 10 tickets, which will be front row, photo and a signed Spurs shirt with him. Another 90 where you can get your photo with him. And that's it. He literally is charging us. I said, can we sign some things? And it's like, it's 20 quid a picture, 30 quid a boot. It's quite complicated. So for those of you in the room, you'll get your normal seat. And then I think the 49 or 50 quid we've had to charge. So that's yours. But if you want to upgrade, we'll chat later if you want to do that. But I'm delighted that we finally got Gazza in, please God, in March the 20th. It was a way off, 2024.
Plenty of time to save up.
It's plenty of time for it not to happen. So anyway, that's in your diary. Stick that in your diary. Follow us on Facebook, X, and Instagram. And if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a nice review. Always helps us get new listeners. Right, Danny, we'll talk about Palace now. We talked about it earlier. There's talk of... Probably one of Ezio and Elise will probably be back.
Really?
Yeah, I think I read today Schlupp will be back. I think he scored against, you said it, Leicester, Martin Yol, FA Cup.
Yeah.
Schlupp scored that day. They are struggling a bit after when Hodgson came in. An incredible turnaround under Hodgson. But this season, my Palace mates go, it's pretty shit. Well, it's not really working for them. But Friday night there, the fact we played on Monday.
Yeah.
A tough atmosphere there with the crowd.
And we were talking a minute ago about the reliance and the importance of strikers. Mm. You know, Fulham lost Mitrovic.
They
lost
disaster.
They lost their, yeah, you know, their fulcrum. Palace lost Zaha, and Zaha was big threat for them. They don't seem, famous last words, but they don't seem to have the scoring power that they once had.
True.
I mean, I think, was it under Nuno where we were top of the league and we went there and we lost 3-0 and we were terrible.
Totally turned over, shocking.
I think Tanganga got sent off. But it feels like we're a different team now.
I
think the confidence from Monday, look, we're lucky, we're only playing one game a week. It's Monday and a Friday, but we should be up for it. Basuma obviously
is back. He's still one off getting suspended again.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, do you think they'll bring him straight back, or do you think,
I would have thought so. He very, very much likes the Bissouma-Sarr axis. I mean, the only question is, would he keep him in Cotton Wool for Chelsea in case he gets suspended? But I don't think I think he'll bring him back, yeah.
I think it's an advantage, in a way, to be playing Friday night, because if we do win... It's a great statement, isn't it?
Like,
we're 5 points clear over to you guys. So, I am confident just because of the way we're playing. And do they lose quite heavily.
They lost heavily. Was it 4-0?
Yeah. Up at Newcastle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think they've got two very, very special players in Eze and Elise.
Yeah, Eze, I always wanted to see at Spurs.
I'd love to see him at Spurs.
Let's get him now, and we didn't. A bit like Maddison.
I still would love to see him at Spurs. We keep saying, you know, when we look at our squad, where are the positions we don't have backup? He's one of the few players in the Premier League who could be an equivalent to Maddison. Mm. He's still quite young. He's an amazing player, but I'm not sure one of them. I didn't know they were saying they were back, because last I heard they were. And even if they do come back, it's going to be first game back for either of them, whichever one comes back.
Yeah.
But without them, they're not special. They don't really have any special players at all. I mean, they've got quite a good defence, though. They've got quite good central defenders. They've got that Anderson, who he's a good player. And they've got Gay, you know, the England player.
Yes,
he's a good player.
With us. He's a very good player.
They've got Mitchell at left-back as a good player.
But being the home team, they've got the onus is to come out.
They'll have to attack, and then they could.
We've had the issue with, they call it the low block now. It's just deep defending. The low block. But which Fulham did as well, and Sheffield United did, and various teams.
Yeah, but Palace, like you say, unlikely to do that at home.
Felt quite good in the way that Postecoglou wasn't happy with the second half.
I love
that.
That
he would have said to the players, don't get too carried away. Yeah. That was a poor second half. And so, although they're going to go in confident to the Palace game, they're not going to go in sort of thinking they're the bee's knees. They're going to be off the back of being bollocked, really, and hopefully they'll respond accordingly. I actually thought, sorry, going back to the Fulham game, I'm always studying the body language. And when they came out in the second half, the Tottenham players were just a little bit cocky.
Right.
And they started playing the ball loose. And they didn't have the momentum that they had in the first half.
That's right.
And it was only, you know, as the game went on that they started to take more urgency. Mm. And hopefully they'll start quickly against Palace.
If Theo, we talked about various players tonight. James Maddison's another one who, again, as I said, when he was at Norwich, I went, this is a Tottenham player. This is a Tottenham player.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's always been there. He's such a Tottenham player.
Yeah.
And we've had great midfielders over the years. After this recording, we're talking with Bobby Daffer about his greatest Spurs 11. And there's a long list of midfielders we're going to talk about. If he does get injured, you're then looking at Lo Celso, who came on.
He's the only similar.
I know lots of people go, he says he's the best player of Argentina. He's never done it for us.
He's
had injuries, or he'll go away to Argentina, come back injured. And to me, there's so many games where the final pass isn't there, or he'll score goals, but it's like a sort of Carabao Cup game. It doesn't mean anything.
This thing about
there's a player there, though.
Oh, yeah, he must be, because he when he plays with Messi for Argentina, I mean, they apparently dovetail brilliantly, and Messi loves playing with him. I mean, you can't say fairer than that.
First choice in the Argentinian.
Absolutely, they were devastated when he was injured for the World Cup. They thought it would be a big, big problem for him. But he's never done it for us. But then he's never really had a run of games. And the problem, there's one problem. I mean, really, this thing about not being in Europe is a huge advantage, in as much as we get well rested and there are less opportunities for people to get injured. But there's one disadvantage, which is that a lot of these players don't get to play. So those guys who came on Monday night, they played football.
And they looked off the pace.
Yeah, and so it's just chicken and egg. They can't get match sharp because they don't play. They're not great, so you don't play them, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So Lo Celso, you've got to feel sorry for him. He's had about 20 full starts while he's been at Tottenham. And whether he can, the only way he's going to get a run of games is if, God forbid, Maddison gets a proper big injury, and then he'll maybe get 10 or 12 games, and then we'll really know. But we don't want that to happen. But he's the only one who can step in at the moment, which is why we talk about Eze.
The weird thing about Maddison, I don't know what other people's feelings were, but I hated Maddison before he came to
Tottenham. Oh, right.
Well, he's one of those players that you always love to hate.
Yeah.
And I never thought he was as good as he actually is.
Absolutely,
so,
right.
You know, I thought he was good.
Yeah.
But not that good.
Yeah.
And he's found his club, hasn't he?
Well, he's found his club, but I didn't really register it at the time, but the number 10 shirt at Spurs is the most hallowed shirt of any shirt. And to take it off Kane, you've got to have big balls to take the number 10 shirt at Tottenham in any case, but to take it off to Kane, he's one of these people, he's incredibly arrogant, but he can back it up as well. Mm. And I personally love that he can actually back up his arrogance, and he plays with a swagger.
Yeah,
he loves opposing fans hating him, but he's a brilliant player. I mean, that he can turn both ways, either foot, and he's how we got him and how we got him for the money. Yeah. Is
but what's lovely as well is how us fans in the short space of time have taken to him, taken to Bissouma, who again we knew was a player there, and it was a real frustration when Conte basically didn't play him.
Yeah,
Sarr, Vicari, apart from that first game that's a bit dodgy, now we just see this.
He's fantastic.
You can see the personality in the Spurs players for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
And that's important to fans when you go kind of week in, week out, that you see they really care.
Yeah.
How many times have you been to away games we've lost and they don't even come over and applaud you? They couldn't give a toss.
Psychology is such a huge part of it. And when we've seen Tottenham play well over the years, when you think of those times over the last 20 years, the Red Knapp team when it was really good, the Pochettino team when it was good, the Joel team when it was good, they always seem happy. Mm. They seem like they're enjoying it. They seem like they want to be a part of something. Yeah. And they really do interact with they bounce off the crowd. It's a mutual feeling, and that's what he's brought.
And there's no doubt that Postecoglou's done an amazing job so far.
Yeah,
the person who probably doesn't get mentioned is Paratici, who I think 9 of the 11.
Yeah,
certainly. The previous game,
yeah,
where he's signing
on his watch.
You know, who found Adogi, who found Vicario, found Van de Ven, who found these guys?
Yeah,
and kind of, and especially with Vicario and not Vicario, with Ndoggi and Matasar, were like bought them and they can go back for another season. Or like, they'll be fine.
They were investments,
they'll be fine. Trust me, they're gonna, these guys.
Yeah, how much Conte feel when he looks at, like, he never played Sarr, he never played Bissouma because he turned up late once for training, he rarely played Porro, you know, all of these guys who've actually turned out to be amazingly good players, he throws out the
squad. Completely.
Dickhead.
That's a
good, good. So, well, I think we've covered most stuff. Theo, Palace on Friday. How have your predictions gone this season?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I simply don't know.
You don't write them down.
No.
Fair enough. No. Exactly.
But I'm always err on the side of optimism.
Go on.
So
give us your
prediction. Quite well,
Palace on Friday. What will the score be?
I think we'll win.
Put your money on it.
2-1.
Ooh. So close.
Pretty close. Because Palace at home. No, Palace at home are quite formidable, and with the crowd and all that. But I think we'll win 2-1. Yeah.
Danny.
I think we'll win. I think our defence is pretty solid, so I'm going to go for a 2-0, Spurs.
2-0. I'm going to go 4-1 Tottenham.
Ooh, uh-oh.
I just think you'll be... I think we'll go for it. I think we're going to...
We did win 4-0 last season.
Yeah, I think we did, didn't we? Yeah, they won 4-0. Yeah. So it's not that crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone giggling in the audience. It's not that outlandish. 4-1. Yeah, but I think that's going to be all right. I think, okay, we're going to go with that. Well, for those of you at home, we're about to do a recording with Bobby Davro, which you'll hear at some stage this season, looking at his greatest Tottenham team. Next Monday on the show, we've got Simon Dent and Tottenham royalty. Son of Danny, Richard Blanchflower. Son of John, Rob White. That's a lineup, isn't it?
Yeah.
How lucky are we to do this show that we actually meet these people?
Incredible.
They can become friends.
Yeah.
It's beautiful,
amazing.
Isn't it?
Amazing.
So that's next Monday. They'll be looking back at the Palace game. And what's the game next the following week?
We've got Chelsea
on a Monday night
game.
It's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah, so that'll be a Tuesday. Obviously, if you're at home, we won't be recording Monday. So that'll be a Tuesday night recording. God, Chelsea.
What reception do you think he'll get?
Surely good. Surely.
Yeah, I think he'll get polite applause.
You could be an
applause.
Idiot if you boo.
Really? I think he'll get polite
applause.
I don't think they're going to sing his name or anything. It's
really?
Chelsea. It's Chelsea.
Yeah, but you're singing to him, not Chelsea.
Unless they do the old, you're Spurs and you know you are. Which just to rile the Chelsea.
Nice.
They might do that. Like
we'll talk about that. I watched the Chelsea-Arsenal game. Was it last week?
Yeah, this weekend, yeah.
I have to say.
Both look shit.
They did, didn't they?
Yeah.
Both are really quite poor.
Yeah.
The build-up play, Chelsea didn't have a striker.
No.
And I think Arsenal are really overhyped this season.
Yeah, they're not as good as they
were
last season.
They're not as good, are they?
Yeah, no.
I'm not getting carried away. But
they did quite well last night.
But I am getting carried away. But this season, you go to Man City, there's no team where you go,
no.
Well, obviously they're going to win it.
No.
Maybe so. This is it. I'm going to say it. I think if we keep players fit, and obviously we replace players in January who are going away, you go, well, one game away, you go, well, why not could we be up?
Yeah. Well, there's so many teams who are capable of winning games, Newcastle,
Villa,
Brighton, Villa.
Yeah.
They're going to take a lot of points off people.
Yeah.
it's so that the top has never been stronger, I don't think, and the bottom's never been weaker.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, Sheffield United's got 1 point, you know.
Yeah.
Luton and Bournemouth haven't won a game in 13 games. You know, there's some really bad teams there. Mm. So
who will probably end up losing to at some stage? See, that's the old Spurs fan talking. Yeah, yeah. I can't help myself. Mm. Just comes out. It's a Tourette's. What can I do? Anyway, that's it for tonight. Danny, thank you so much. Theo, thank you so much. Thank you for listening here and at home. Until next time, go Spurs. Podcast Network.